Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy winter. Good morning, Adam.
Very cold.
Yeah, right? So I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer at Winthrop Capital Management, and we are in the first week of February, and it is bitter cold in Indianapolis, yep. Indiana. With me is my cohort, Adam Kunz, Head of Trading, helps with portfolio management.
Good morning.
All-around good guy. Good morning, Adam. Never a dull moment, but we are navigating a few things. Front and center, obviously, we've talked about this, is the impact on the economy. So we'll cover that. We'll cover the move in interest rates, and we'll talk a little bit about the equity market and how that translates into portfolio models and what, from an investment standpoint, what do you make of this?
Right.
And I think the overarching theme here is that risk control matters. So even though we're in a different paradigm, with all the stimulus and inflated asset valuations, risk control still matters. So we'll talk a little bit about that also. But for a backdrop, where we are and the key theme right now for the market is fiscal stimulus. We think that is the driver, and that's what the capital markets are focused on. So that is what will ultimately provide for sustained economic growth. And the key word there is sustained, because right now we're really intervening. The government is intervening heavily to support the economy. So we got the number last week. The economy for the year was down 3.5%, and that's kind of almost like a big sigh of relief, because it was significantly impaired. Over $1 trillion of GDP output, we think, is still impacted because of the coronavirus, and that's travel, leisure, you know, the known suspects. But it's kind of like a participation award when you were playing soccer when you were little. You know, if everyone, like, hey, great job, guys. Like, yeah. You know, in any other occasion, it would be a real hit. But it's actually pretty good given the circumstances.
Sure.
The question now is, how much more money do we need to spend to get the economy over the hump? And we describe this as the intersection of the coronavirus and the vaccine. And this intersection is going to take time, but we are there. So the vaccine is being distributed at the same time the coronavirus, we're coming off periods of just heavy spreading because of the holidays. And so we're expecting to now see sequential declines in the rate of infection, but it won't happen. That intersection really won't get traction until the second half of the year, in our opinion, when we start to see some normality to gatherings. Still social distance, still wearing masks, but at least people gathering. And we saw evidence of it at the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Did your team win?
No. I mean, I didn't really have any skin in the game, but I didn't mind seeing Brady win.
No, I didn't either. I spent more time actually researching the history of halftime shows
than I did. That's probably more interesting than the game.
Yeah. And I'm surprised. There's a couple websites on this. And my favorite halftime show was Paul McCartney, for, I think, obvious reasons. Probably the best band ever in the history of bands was the Beatles.
Right.
So, having Paul McCartney play was pretty good, but some would argue that the year after that, the Rolling Stones. But, I mean, really, who went first, right?
So, right.
Actually, though, Prince was probably the all-time.
That probably be my pick.
Yeah.
Things I've seen.
Okay, back on track.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. I guess we'll start with the news that probably everyone's seen on CNBC, which is Bitcoin and Tesla investing $1.5 billion into Bitcoin, and then moving to accept payment of cryptocurrency going
for
forward.
Cards, right.
Yeah. So, you know, this is, well, first off, there's a little bit of an Adam tilt here, because I personally have an opinion favorable of Bitcoin, but you're seeing more and more adoption of crypto, right? PayPal is now accepting it and using it as a payment source. So in some ways, it's becoming real. The market cap of Bitcoin is probably going to hit close to a trillion today. So coming in today, it was 800 billion. And so this will probably push it up close to a trillion.
Yeah. And I actually take the other side. I'm concerned about it.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, as a currency, as a payment method, is one thing. And two is that the governance over Tesla. So the payment currency is a medium exchange. It needs to meet three requirements, basically. And that has to be a store of value, which implies stability. And it needs to be widely recognized. And the banking system still doesn't recognize delivery. So, I could use art. I could take my art collection or my mother-in-law stamp collection, which has already been pledged to the – but – so, but I don't know that it really works, although it's been a wonderful story because of the appreciation.
Yeah. I agree with you. The stability, the lack of stability makes it a difficult, let's say you started paying us in Bitcoin instead of dollars, Bitcoin's been down 20% in a day. So I might think that I'm getting paid a certain amount, but really it's 20% less. And
so the second is the governance issues over Tesla. So the decision to do that in the absence of this widely being recognized as deliverable around our banking system is problematic.
Sure.
Now, I'm just one person, but I scratch my head saying I don't get the governance decision process over this. It was just an announcement. There was no testing. There was no
well, that's the Elon Musk way, right?
Yeah. Right. So but a good week in earnings last week.
It was, yeah. So we had, at this point, 80% of companies that have released have beat their earnings expectations. And at this point, year-over-year earnings are up 6%. So keep in mind, this is a Q4 number that was pre-pandemic. So the year-over-year number is growing. So there are some positive signs there. Obviously, the bar was pretty low to get over. But yeah, we're seeing, positive numbers. We get, 78 companies this week, so pretty heavy week. Disney's one of the big ones that I'm watching. Kind of a, an odd story there where obviously all the amusement parks are cut way back, but they're making up for it in other ways. So definitely going to be a heavy week of earnings. And then last week, a lot of stuff out of tech. We had Amazon. And two things out of Amazon. Obviously, the big news was that overwhelmed the earnings was the fact that Bezos is moving out. And the CEO now will be the head of Amazon Web Services. So you kind of saw a similar move out of Microsoft. They did the same thing, right? When Ballmer moved out, they moved up to head of cloud. So they're doing the same thing here at Amazon. I think it's a great move. And it will position Amazon going forward, really where they're making all of their money. But a good earnings release for them. They beat, they came in with $14 a share versus the $7.23 expected. So very good. Revenue was up 28% for cloud, which we've talked about the fact that their cloud revenue is slowing.
Right.
So that is a concern. But then when you just look at the raw number, 28% growth for anything is still a good number.
Yeah, and that's one of our themes is this whole cloud. And one of the things we probably need to revisit is where are we in the whole saturation of the cloud market?
Right.
And where does that fit? And then the other interesting story is this one with Microsoft and the transition to this business, this holistic business outsourced HR and
sure.
the toolkit that they're building to help small business. And I joke about this, but we never got a memo that said the typewriters are leaving the office in 1987.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden all these PCs started popping up on office desks and the typewriter just went away. So these shifts in business and in our, and just lifestyle, just our life are just, they just happen. And they're marginal until they're all of a sudden the norm. And
right.
I think that's one of the things with Microsoft and what's happening in this working remote. So we might have to look at shifting the strategy from the cloud, a cloud-based strategy to this working remote strategy. And I know we got CRM in the portfolios also, but to revisit that, that's, these companies that have grown through acquisition.
Right.
And the one thing about Microsoft is they've built organically and they've done it beautifully.
They really have.
So Super Bowl commercial, what was your favorite?
I don't know. Nothing really.
It didn't really jump out
no.
at you. I thought the Paramount commercials were pretty good.
They're okay. But just nothing really grabbed me.
I thought the Matthew McConaughey 3D when he eats the potato chip while he's in the vending machine. I thought that was pretty
funny. Anything Matthew McConaughey does, I like.
So. I'm easy to please.
Yeah.
I think. My wife would disagree. But. Go ahead. Talk about interest rates now.
Yes. So bond markets. Interest rates have been going up. The 30-year hit 2%. It's backed off a little bit, but I think we're like 1.98 right now. So yeah, it's been a meaningful move up.
How high can rates go?
I mean, you know, that's a tough one to answer. But I mean, if you still look at 1 year ago, we were almost 100 basis points higher. So I don't think we go that high.
But, so Larry Sumner wrote a piece last week, an editorial for the Washington Post, yeah, that got a lot of traction on inflation and how the fiscal stimulus package could spark inflation. Now, remember, this is someone highly regarded in Clinton and Obama's administration writing a piece that's almost viewed as kind of contradictory to the Biden agenda.
Yes.
But I think the spirit of the piece was, hey, heads up, we don't have an open checkbook here. Mm-hmm. And we could have inflationary pressure. I think the Fed's hope is that we actually do have inflation.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And it's not necessarily runaway inflation. However, we've got so much excess resources right now, including excess unemployment, excess capacity utilization,
right,
that to really get inflation at this point, I don't really see it. The risk down the road is real as we get employees back to work in the second half of the year, and all of a sudden we're dealing with a scarcity of labor, and it happens quickly.
Sure,
I think that could be a risk.
Yeah,
but I think the Fed would like to say, we'll take that risk. We'll take that on. Let's see what we can do, because they've struggled for the last 10 years after the financial crisis to actually get inflation above 2% and sustain it. So,
yeah, I would agree. I think their fear is that we turn into Japan, you know, so I think for them to look for inflation is the strategy. But when you look at the data, velocity of money continues to decline. It's down 20% year over year. You know, savings rates are still high. So that means people aren't spending it.
Well, one of our colleagues pointed out, and I did not realize this till he pointed it out, but the Fed has stopped publishing excess reserves last August.
Yes, yeah.
And so we've maintained that as long as excess reserves are sitting on the central bank's balance sheet and not released into the system, that we can at least control acceleration and inflation. Once that gets monetized into the system, then it can be a source, and that would happen through loan growth and increase in the velocity of money. It would be a catalyst for accelerating inflation. So I'm curious to why they chose to stop publishing.
Yeah.
That figure.
One of the things I'm looking at, I guess, since you can't see that now, is to look at, bank survey tightening standards, mm-hmm, and they're continuing to be very, very tight, which tells me if they're tight, they're not lending. That means those bank reserves are still high.
Right. And I wonder how much of the federal loan programs are subsidizing that.
Yeah, good point.
Big concern that I have, and I don't want to dwell on this right now, but this discussion about forgiving student loans. So the acceleration in student loan debt leading up to the financial crisis in 08 and then post financial crisis, it's over $1.5 trillion of debt. Mm-hmm. So to talk about a forgiveness program for student loan debt has a lot of moral, ethical, but also issues, but also, I mean, that's a real debt that's owed,
right?
And in a large part, a subsidy for higher education that has not been addressed,
right?
So I think it's a complex issue that could leave a scar in the financial position of the United States if we do go ahead and do that.
So yeah, I agree. I've got opinions there too, but for another time,
another call. Let's talk about companies. What's one company that you really, really dig in this market right now? It's really that you really like.
I'm gonna pick two and cheat, but it's all coming from the same place, and it's gonna be Tencent and Alibaba. I have a lot of conviction behind,
yeah,
what those companies are doing, just generically, but then also backed by, you know, the growth in China. That's my two conviction buys.
Yeah, I like the story too, especially the recovery that we've seen so far. And can you talk a little bit about the debt issuance from Alibaba this last week? Was it a $5
billion? $5 billion issuance across the long end of the curve. So this is A-rated debt, and it was well sought after. It came plus 140 on the long end, which is really cheap for an A-rated security. But obviously, you've got the China piece of it, so that's why you got a little bit of a concession. Bonds immediately tightened about 6 basis points on the break. So, yeah, it's a bond people wanted.
My stock is Microsoft. I just am so impressed with their ability to shift, and that the gaming piece of Microsoft, I think, is you know, we get focused on the business side of it,
right,
with their suite of products, teams, and with the gaming piece of it's doing really well too.
Totally agree.
All right, with that, any closing thoughts?
Nothing here.
Hey, thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you during the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.